This is FCB Radio, where real talk lives. Visit us online at fcbradio.com.
Todd Allen Radio, turn your speakers up, let's go. Da-da-da-da-da. Todd Allen Radio, sit back, enjoy the show.
Hello, folks, and welcome. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. I'm your host, Professor Econ Todd Allen, in studio with Khalid Namar. Khalid, how are you, sir?
I am not feeling well these days, but, you know.
Really?
I'm fine physically. I'm talking about just in light of recent events. It's
just,
not a
just
good time.
Mentally, you're just a little...
A little exhausted.
A little challenged mentally?
No. I'm exhausted.
Okay.
Tired of all the nonsense.
Darvio Kingpin Morrow, how are you, sir?
What's up, sir?
You good?
I'm all right.
Excellent. So again, more moves for FCB?
Yes. Special shout out to Kira Davis, who is the editor at large at Red State, which is also a Salem property. And as most of you know, this show airs on a Salem property as well, AM 1420, The Answer in Cleveland. Kira Davis now has a new show with our network called Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis. So make sure y'all check that out. The first episode is out, and her numbers are through the roof. So very excited about it. So go to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and anywhere else where you listen to your podcast to check it out.
So when can we have her as a guest on our show?
Oh, we can make that happen soon.
All right. Well, sooner than later.
Yeah, we can make that happen.
Excellent. Ashley Herzog, how are you?
I'm like Khalid. I'm frustrated with what's going on in the world, but other than that, I'm good.
Okay. All right. And you had a good weekend. I saw that you posted. You were in Toledo. Sorry.
I was in Toledo on Tuesday night for a baseball game. We went to the Toledo Mud Hens.
The Mud Hens.
But yes, I took my daughter there.
Right.
She had a lot of fun.
How'd you like it?
It was great.
So Ohio and Michigan fought over Toledo. Do you think they should have had Toledo?
I mean, I like Toledo.
Okay.
It gets a bum rap, but
yeah.
I lived there for 2 years. They have a great art museum. They have some very cool local businesses like Tony Paco's.
Okay.
I think it doesn't get enough credit for what it does have.
Okay. Very good. Excellent. So I know that you and Khalid said that you guys were feeling a little... I think the term that you used, Khalid, was exhausted, mentally exhausted. And there's a lot of stuff that's been going on over the past week. And I kind of want us to kind of talk about that. So what I want to start with you, Ashley. In light of the tragedies that have taken place, what are your thoughts, just in general, about the climate of the country, about the events that took place? What are your thoughts and feelings about that?
You know, it's hard to even know where to begin. I think I'll summarize my thoughts on this by saying, first of all, people need to stop viewing these mass shootings as a political weapon to attack individual politicians.
Yes,
the shooter in El Paso was a white supremacist, but I can personally attest white supremacy was a problem in this country before Trump came along a couple years ago. They were organized, talking to each other online. 8chan was in existence long before Trump even announced he was running for president. So don't blame Trump. Trump did not create white supremacists. You could argue that white supremacists created Trump or helped, you know, whatever. Some people would say that. My feelings on it are that extremists in this country of any stripe, but especially white supremacists and just these weirdos congregating online need to be treated like Al-Qaeda. Like, when we were attacked on 9/11, 3,000 people were killed, we did something about it. And we were willing to respond and to fight back, and we need to do the same thing with homegrown terrorists.
Mm-hmm. So when you say, if you can speak to it, fine. If not, you know, I understand it. When you say that, you said personally, you kind of know that white supremacy has been around before. Is this because you've known individuals who've kind of looked into those circles, or I mean, how do you?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
And you can look, you know, you can. I can't speak too much because of legal
right.
restrictions,
right.
but. people can definitely Google my name and find some of my personal experience with this. But yes, I mean, I was seeing it as early as 2008 over the internet, just people that were commenting on my columns online, that were friending me on Facebook. I just, you know, a lot of people noticed this spike in extremism. Trump did not come along and create these people.
Right.
So don't, what really angers me is to see people looking at this horrific shooting in El Paso and in Dayton, but that guy was a leftist. They're not as focused on that.
Right.
And saying, ooh, wow, what a great opportunity to
make political hay.
Well, yeah, and also to use this to further my presidential campaign for 2020.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a great talking point.
Right.
That's not how we should be looking at mass shootings.
Right. So when someone says that Donald Trump's rhetoric is insightful and it adds fuel to this particular group in order to entice them or approximate them doing some action like this, what are your thoughts regarding that?
I think the blame belongs squarely on the individual who did this. Mm-hmm. And just like we treat terrorist cells, I mean, it was George Bush who said, don't blame Islam, blame the people that attacked us and who hijacked Islam for this purpose. I blame the guy who did this, any accomplices he might have had, which people saw this rant go up on 8chan and didn't do anything about it. You can't tell me it's the first one.
Right.
Like, he had to have hinted to someone he was planning this. He drove from Dallas to El Paso, which is like a 10-hour drive. I just don't believe that he didn't let anyone in on this plan. They need to go after him. They need to find out who his accomplices were, who he was talking to about this. And we need to treat it like a terrorist cell.
Right.
Like, they're so focused on how can we use this against Trump that they're not looking at things that might really work to root out what I consider these terrorist cells in the U.S.
Right. Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you. Khalid, I have a question for you, and I'm going to let you, you know, give your view about the shooting, but I want to talk about this concept, this idea that white supremacists are conservatives.
Yeah, that's a media concoction, and I'll start by saying that Dinesh D'Souza, who explained this pretty brilliantly, I thought, he said that essentially these people, there's no, the left allows every kind of identity politics except white identity politics, right? So there's no room for them on the left. If you look at their positions, and I'm going to get into that in a second, their positions are all pretty much non-conservative positions. He questioned Richard Spencer in his last film. All his favorite presidents were Democrats, like he admires Woodrow Wilson. He said rights come from the state, not God. He doesn't believe in the Constitution, right? He doesn't believe, he doesn't have any conservative. Richard Spencer is the quote-unquote alt-right leader.
We had him on.
No, that was Jared Taylor.
Okay,
Richard Spencer
right.
is the younger, the younger,
okay.
version of the moron. And so all of his positions, they have nothing to do with small government, limited taxes, liberty, the Constitution, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They're essentially, according to Richard Spencer's own words, they are a white ethno or Eurocentric movement. That's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's all Eurocentric, ethno-based ideology. So it's nothing to do with conservatism at all.
So the only thing that they have in common, let's just say that the only thing that they may have in common with Donald Trump is basically the idea of limited or immigration.
They used
in some sense.
Which is why Jason Kessler, who helped plan the Charlottesville March, was an Obama supporter because Obama ran against illegal immigration. So, of course, they would support him. Now, Richard Spencer dissed Trump on CNN a couple weeks ago. He said, Trump has given us nothing except racist tweets. That's what he said. Jared Taylor, whose interview with Fareed Zakaria recently, said he never thought Trump was somebody who cared about race.
Mm-hmm.
He never thought he did.
Mm-hmm.
He was hoping that he did. He said, but he doesn't. Illegal immigration is their issue. That's all they pretty much care about. They care about nothing else. So they'll vote for anybody who is against illegal immigration. And if you read this shooter from El Paso, his manifesto, he clearly lays out his political reasons.
Okay.
Do you want
to cover it? I see.
Yeah, definitely. Because he actually said that the book, The Great Replacement,
was the reason why he targeted Latinos. He said before he read this book, Latinos were not his target. He said both parties have failed us. He said Republican and Democrats. He said Republicans are also terrible because they themselves are in favor of, and I'm paraphrasing, illegal, foreign workers, you know, essentially guest worker programs, all this stuff. So he goes after both parties for their failure to stop illegal immigration. And this book, The Great Replacement, which he says basically shaped his views. Trump's name's not mentioned in this whole manifesto. I didn't see it. Right. I read it twice, and I'm reading it again. I've not seen his name mentioned. Mm-hmm. This guy he's warped, obviously. He's evil, but he's not mentally ill, and there's a difference.
No, he's not mentally ill. No. And that's the other thing. I could go on all day. I could spend
We've got the whole show. The producer said that if we need to.
Yeah. Yeah, and we got a few seconds, but I'll just say that going after these people is a little different animal than going after Al Qaeda. But we'll talk about that.
Okay, when we come back on the other side, I want to continue this discussion. I want to bring Darvio in to get his views, folks. You're listening to the Todd Allen Show.
The Todd Allen Show. Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla when I used to walk everywhere. Look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Comfy in my own skin. And I don't stress as much. Dad, I hope he's still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
The Todd Allen Show.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to the Todd Allen Show. We were talking about the events that transpired last week and the tragedies of the shootings and the multiple shootings. We had the Garlic Festival. We had the Dayton shooting. We also had the El Paso, Texas shooting. And one thing that has not been talked about that took place last week as well is that there were a number of shootings in Chicago such that they closed a hospital because of the numbers of people that they had. And that's something that, surprisingly, the media had not even discussed or talked about. But I want to bring, Darvio, I want to bring you into this conversation. Your thoughts, I mean, and I know that as you've talked about this on your other networks, the events that have taken place, and I appreciate the candor and the sensitivity that the other shows have demonstrated when talking about this. What are your views? I mean, you are one of the you and Ashley are the younger persons on the show here, so you haven't seen quite the things that Khalid and I may have seen or experienced throughout our lifetime. What are your thoughts?
So I want to start with just pointing out two facts. First of all, in 2009, the Obama administration warned about white nationalists starting to reorganize themselves. And we completely, and when I say we, I mean we as a society, we completely ignored it. In 2006, the Bush administration Justice Department sent out a warning saying that they were seeing that members of white nationalists and white supremacist groups were attempting to infiltrate police departments.
Correct.
And we ignored that. This is an issue that we have dealt with pretty much since the founding. This is, and to me, I'm in complete agreement with Ashley saying that we should approach this the same way that we approach terrorism.
Well, the Oklahoma bombing would be another example of it.
Right. Like, exactly. Exactly. The Oklahoma
bombing.
Correct. In 1994. Yeah. That was 94 or 95?
That was 95.
95. So this is an issue that we've had to deal with for a very long time. And the thing that is frustrating to me is that I see very few people who actually want to deal with it. I see people on all sides of the political spectrum trying to use it as a political football, using this as a way of, well, you know, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. Instead of actually dealing with this issue. And that it's saddening to me because it feels like we're never going to actually deal with this. So the issue of the president comes up all the time concerning this issue.
Is it his fault? No, it's not his fault. White nationalist and white supremacist ideology has a trail of bodies in its wake for years and years and years and years. Do I think he helps the matter? No, I don't think he helps. But you can't, it's too easy to blame it all on him. Just like it's too easy to use this as a way to feel like people have to defend their guy or use this to their advantage and all of that. And when you do that, you're missing the whole issue. And the issue is the internet, as Ashley mentioned 8chan earlier. Now you have people, it's just like people getting radicalized in radical Islam. People are being radicalized. Young men, young white men are being radicalized on the internet and turning into domestic terrorists. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that's important that we should be talking about.
And I agree with you. And I think one of the things that I heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, because, you know, sometimes two people can see the same thing, but then have different interpretations of the same thing that they may have seen. I saw the president get on national television and denounce white supremacists. He talked about mental health. He talked about background checks for guns. And he also talked about games and the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't talk about white nationalism. I would say he did not talk about that. But he talked about other talking points that other politicians have said is a problem. And yet they still go on television using the media and labeling this guy a racist. And that doesn't help the situation.
Well, he's done that before, though.
But
even at Charlottesville, which they don't seem to play those words, but I think it's a way to make political hay.
And that becomes a problem in this stage. Mm-hmm. Because the truth of the matter is, and again, I don't mean to cut you off, Dario, but correct me if I'm wrong, it's the legislative body, it's Congress and Senate that write these laws, that actually write the laws. It's the president who enforces the laws that are enacted by Congress. If someone is to do something about this, would it not be Congress, the one to implement the policy?
Yeah. So, of course, there's a lot that you just packed in there real quick. So let's kind of unpack that. First of all, the speech that he gave about this issue, I didn't have any issues with his speech. Okay. I thought the speech was fine, so I don't have any complaints about that speech. I'm not going to sit here, though, and act like he has not said and done certain things that would make a reasonable person to question whether he has biases.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. I'm going to give you that, but let me ask you this. Did God talk to Satan?
Sure. Of course.
That's my point. Even though that you have people... The point is, even though that people have different ideologies, right, the fact that they're not willing to talk, that's the issue. Because what they want to do is they want to bring up what he did in the past, not what he did in the present at that moment. That Christians here, that so-called Christians here, don't give these people a pass for the things that they do at the moment because they always remember what they did in the past. We give convicted felons a pass. Convicted felons a pass. And we talk about second chances. But we don't do that when it comes to this guy because they don't like him.
Well, I'll say this. When it comes to laws, okay, so here's my feeling about this. We have a problem in this country.
A big problem.
And it's not all these things that we keep talking about, whether it be white nationalism or whether it be I lost my job and I want to kill 8 people, which happened in a brewery or a couple of years ago. Some guy got fired. He goes to his car, gets his weapon, and kills 8
people.
Well,
you had that at the Naval Yard.
Yeah, Naval Yard. Yeah, yeah. Aaron Alexis.
Yeah.
We have an issue with people acting out their rage and their violence on their fellow Americans, right?
Right.
Whether they, you know, don't like certain religious groups, ethnic groups, you know, coworkers, whatever. It's like there's that sickness of I'm going to get a gun and I'm going to wipe out as many people as possible.
Right.
We still don't know why this guy in Dayton did what he did.
Right.
Right? He killed his own sister. You know, these people are so evil and sick. And we don't even know why the Las Vegas guy did what he did. We have no idea why he shot 500 people. something is obviously deeply, deeply, deeply wrong with us. So I'll say this. With legislation, a lot of these guys already got their weapons. They're already warped. They're whacked out already. They got guns and plenty of them. Many of the last several shooters that you can think of, with the exception of the one in Texas a couple years ago, the guy that killed the people at the church, the Air Force didn't pass along his background information to the to the databases.
Right.
But everybody else passed a background check or bought a gun legally. Vester Flanagan, who shot the people on live television, bought a gun after Dylann Roof shot up the church. And he bought it legally, even though he had all these issues. But there was nothing to prevent
him. They're not mentally ill. I'm so
tired
of that.
They're not.
They're not.
They have issues, but I'm just saying they have issues to the point where they're warped.
They're
disturbed.
Evil.
They're evil.
Yeah, they're evil.
But there's nothing to prevent them from getting a weapon if they go into a store.
So
what I'm saying is that legislation, people want something done just for the sake of getting something done. I say if you're going to pass legislation, I think that it needs to start with states need to change their laws. Washington is not going to do anything to fix this.
Well, no, I mean, and that's a fair point. And I want to apologize because I cut Darvio off. And so, Darvio, what I would like to do is let you come back and kind of finish your thought, unpacking all of that thing that I said.
I don't even remember at this point.
Okay. Basically, what I was just basically saying is kind of that it's Congress's – it would be Congress's responsibility. But I want to go back to the I think the overarching idea or concept that many people have is because of the perceived or labeled hurtful words that the president has said in the past, they believe that that is the cause of these people to be emboldened to do the actions and activities that they're doing. Well, you know,
I know people are impressionable. I know this. And read people's words, read what they say. This guy in Texas, as evil as he is, he seemed to have shaped his views from a totally different place. He says so in his writings.
Okay.
So that's all we have to go by.
Right.
And so I go by what the horse's mouth says, not what the horse's A says on television.
What are your thoughts, Ashley?
I mean, I don't think it matters what Trump says about this shooting. He did get up and disavow white supremacy. He did say we need to reject it. It doesn't matter what he says, though. The left is just going to say he's lying. He doesn't really mean it. He could say anything. He could say, I think we should ban all guns starting tomorrow. And because this is a political game for them.
Right.
Also, I mean, saying that someone is emboldening people with their rhetoric. I mean, you could say that about anyone. Like, as Ann Coulter pointed out in her weekly column, these leftist professors back in the early 2000s who criticized the Iraq war said that 9/11 was just a response to American empire, which we've never had an empire. I got so fed up with that.
Right.
And like those in the Bush years. But they were allowed to say that, and everyone defended their right to express their views on that, and they're trying to make it so that nobody can have an opinion on how to deal with the southern border that's not theirs without saying you're getting people killed.
So basically they use a fallacy of argument by labeling someone as being so that because this person's a racist that nothing that they say is valid.
Right. I'm reading through this manifesto again. He talked about watching the last debate and listening to what they were saying about their policies, the Democrats. He mentioned what they're going to open borders. He thinks they're open borders. He thinks they're using health care. I'm not blaming them either. I'm just saying the way they paint this is through their lens, which is, as Ashley said, a political game. You deal with the issue as it is and not as you want to paint it to be.
Right.
And that's what bothers me. Listen to what these people say and deal with it, but stop using it to blast someone else or to attack someone politically.
Okay. So when we come back, we're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to talk about the political hypocrisy, the idea that on one hand, we don't want to politicize it. And you have the president that goes to Dayton and he goes to Texas and we don't want to politicize it. But the moment he leaves, we have those other people that want to politicize it. And we basically want to talk about, we really didn't want the president to be here. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Todd Allen Show.
The Todd Allen Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla when I used to walk everywhere. Look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Comfy in my own skin. And I don't stress as much. Dad, I hope he's still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
The Todd Allen Show.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. Ashley, how can our listeners follow you?
You can find me on Facebook as myself, Ashley Herzog, and on Instagram as AshleyHerzog85.
Khalid.
Khalid Namar on all social media platforms.
Darvio.
At D the Kingpin on all social media platforms, DTheKingpin.
Folks, you can follow us on Facebook at The Todd Allen Show. Okay, I want to talk about a little bit about the hypocrisy of it all. Yes, we here at The Todd Allen Show are, I would say we're Booker T. Washington libertarians, but many people don't know what that is. So we'll just say that we call foul on both ends, on both sides. And in all fairness, the first half of the show, we've kind of been going after the media, talking about how they've been hypocritical, and mostly from the left, because I believe that the left is the lapdog of the Democratic Party. I also believe that the Democratic Party has not changed since they're wanting to leave and create the Confederacy and be anti-constitutionalist and create the Ku Klux Klan. However, in today's political environment, we have to say, in my view, call foul on both sides, that both sides try to use these events to politicize the happenstance, the events that take place, in order to gain power. The people that lose in this regard are the American people. Even though that someone may come across as being very sympathetic to the people who lost their lives and say, okay, well, we need to do something about it, that becomes, in a sense, a hollow political promise. How can you legislate a person's heart? Ashley, you care to jump in on that?
I'll let my co-host go first.
All right. You're giving the mic to Khalid. We might never get it back. Go ahead. Go ahead, Khalid. I mean, the politics, we have to call foul on both sides. Even though that we talk about, that a lot of this stuff has been going on since 1994, that there have been a lot of people want to claim that the rhetoric of Donald Trump, but we know that many from the manifestos or the written essays of many of these people, that they've read books that have been written by people
they're influenced over a period of time. These guys are what they are. Their beliefs shape through a lot of different things, media or books. They have people that they like to read. There's this other book is along the same lines. It has something in the, I think it had Saints in the title. You know what I'm talking about?
Camp of the Saints.
Camp of the Saints. Yeah. That's, they have a reading list It's just one of the books that these people read, and it helps shape.
So like an Oprah's book club for white nationalists.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They do. And they have these books that shape their, and I'm just reading what this guy's written about. He laid out very articulately what he believes politically, what he believes economically, as warped as he is. He talked about big corporations.
Yeah.
He talked about the environment. He talked about, of course, the college. He talked about both parties failed us. This guy has deep-seated, issues, but he is very clear about what he's doing and why he's doing it. So he's competent to stand trial, and he's competent to get the gas chamber. And so what I'm saying is that in terms of, I remember right now there's a lawsuit going on between, and I'm not sure exactly who's named on the lawsuit, but it's Sarah Palin in the lawsuit, where she's suing based on the reports that her rhetoric influenced this shooter in Colorado a few years ago who shot Gabby
in
Giffords,
Arizona.
Yeah, who was totally non-political. This guy was just a kook who was non-political, and she had gun sights on congressional districts as a means of saying, hey, we need to target these districts but they reported it as this influenced the shooter, which he was totally apolitical. So what I'm saying is that this stuff is always blamed on, quote, someone's rhetoric instead of looking at each individual case to say, well, this guy didn't even listen to talk radio. He was not political. He just wanted to shoot somebody.
But, you know, and it comes up with the issue called proximate cause. And that's something that, you know, our politicians who are mostly who are lawyers, they should know better than say this. But I want to go. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I guess my feelings on it are, I feel like this internet culture that has bred extremism I don't know what 8chan is. I've never been on it, obviously, but these cesspools on the internet that are, giving these people, are ginning these people up, giving them, you know, support and feedback from people who think the same way. They need to be treated like the terrorists that they are.
Right.
Second, Donald Trump should take responsibility for some of the dehumanizing, well, not just Donald Trump, but all politicians, pundits.
The ad hominem that they use. And
the things that they've said about immigrants. One person who is extremely guilty of this is Pat Buchanan, through his writings and his books and columns about how Latinos are invading the U.S., which implies that they're here to harm us, and I do not think that's most people's primary intent when they're coming across the border looking to work and live here. Saying, you know, comparing them to rats and insects that are infesting, saying that they're disease ridden. Like, you don't have to. You words matter. You do not have to gin up this hateful, very dehumanizing image of immigrants.
Right. I'm going to come back to Darvio. Sorry, I'm going to come back to Darvio. We have to say that it's not just the left who uses these things to kind of, as Ashley said, gin up the population. Because we have Fox, other news organizations that kind of that do the same thing that MSNBC, CNBC. Washington Post, New York Times,
all the alphabet
soup. On both sides, they kind of do the same thing. And again, the reason why they do this and the reason why they use hyperbole is because they want to sell newspapers, or they want to get sell subscriptions to have people to get. They want to sensationalize things in order to get people to listen. It's a marketing tool.
Mm-hmm. I don't buy that. I'll say this because people have accused me of being paid to go on a talk show before. Okay.
And we don't pay you here at the time.
No, you don't. I'll say this. I give credit for people believing what they say.
Right.
Right. And I told one guy, I said, so you think if I wasn't getting quote paid, which I'm not, I would think like you. I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, you don't really believe what you're saying. You're just doing this to get paid. Well, guess what? I'm not getting a dime, and I will say everything I say today, and I'll say if I was getting a check. People believe what they believe, whether they're sitting on Facebook for no money or whether they're on television for no money.
Well,
so what I'm saying is that I'm not saying I agree or disagree. What I'm saying to you is that there are people out there who believe what they say, right?
I'm not disagreeing with that, but I want to talk about just the media in general industry.
Can you reset your question, because I kind of missed it there for a second.
Sorry.
Well, he's a millennial. His attention span is real low.
When you have soliloquies, coming on the other side.
Right. Sorry.
Can you reset that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm going to do this, even though you say I'm old, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to reset it. We have to call foul on both sides, because just like CNN, NBC, we have those shows on the right that kind of add to the, to use Ashley's words, ginning up the population on both sides. So they try to, as they say, they kind of activate the base on both sides. Right.
Yeah.
So we have to call out the hypocrisy on both sides. We can't cry foul on one and not and have someone that does the same action and activity and not cry foul on the other. I mean, we will say, okay, on one hand, we've got politicians such as Joe Biden. You know, we have to come together. We have to be bipartisan. Oh, but by the way, Donald Trump's a racist. And then on the right, we can't say that. You know, we need to come back together. We need to solidify. We need to put differences aside. Oh, but by the way, sleepy Joe Biden. You know, we can't do that. And I don't think so. I just want to know what your thoughts
are.
Well,
yeah. I mean, we had Tucker Carlson this week go on the air and say white nationalism or white supremacy was a myth. Like, you're no, saying that to hoax. Millions. Well, hoax. Okay, yeah, hoax. There you go.
That was his girl.
Okay, excuse me. Let me say hoax. There you go. And he said to millions of people. And here's the thing.
But Tucker Carlson is not a reporter. He's an editor.
But that's just a blatant falsehood.
Yeah.
He has a responsibility as a very respected, widely watched person in the media to not promote
a lie.
A complete lie. I was going to use a stronger word. Right. It starts with B and then S. But, I mean, it's a completely...
Bovine excrement.
There you
go. Yes, bovine excrement. It's a lie. It's an easily disprovable lie.
Right.
I would love to go on a show and talk about why it's a lie.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's one thing that you can say about this show. You have your opinions, but there's never been a time where anybody on this show said an out and out blatant lie. That was a lie. It's not something that you can disagree. Oh, well, that's just a difference of opinion. That was a lie.
I have to admit that I have lied before. I told my two ex-wives I'd give them the world, but that was a lie.
Well, we ain't talking about your personal life. Yeah, that's a whole nother show. But going back to the topic, the thing about it is I am not one that says the rhetoric causes this. I believe that extreme people attach themselves to rhetoric as an excuse, not as a motivator. I believe that. What I do think, though, is that a lot of times rhetoric on both sides can cause the coarsening of this debate to the point where the normal people can't talk. I'm not talking about the crazy people are going to attach themselves to whatever they have to justify their actions. My concern is about the interactions with the normal people.
And I'm glad that you brought that up, because the thing that bothers me is, well, I know we got 1 minute, so I'll have to come back after this break to say the thing that bothers me. And this is going to be my little chance to rant a little bit. So, folks, come back for my rant. You're listening to The Todd Allen.
The Todd Allen Show. Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla when I used to walk everywhere. Look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Comfy in my own skin. And I don't stress as much. Dad, I hope he's still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
The Todd Allen Show.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. Okay, this gives me an opportunity to kind of rant about what bothers me. For me, it doesn't matter to me if you're black, white, yellow, pink, polka dot, or fuchsia. It doesn't matter to me if you're on the right or left or in the middle or if you're a circle. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that you have the right to express your view in an intelligent way without the threat of violence, without the threat of being castigated, without the threat of being shunned, if you will. What has happened in our political discourse as of late is that if you don't agree with a particular ideology, not only are you attacked, but other people who may agree with you are attacked as well. You have the ability to freedom of speech, the freedom of thought, but you don't always have the freedom of action and activity. And you cannot espouse freedom if on one hand you can be free, but you don't allow someone else the opportunity to be free with their ideas and their values and their thoughts. Where am I going with this? What happened in the situation with the shootings is the words cannot describe how horrible and horrific that is. Okay? And politicians on both sides are using the situation to bolster their soundbites. At the same time, what they're doing, what has happened is that now people, in the course of having conversations about these issues and about these things, if you have a different view, they want to automatically shut you down and not allow you to have a platform to speak, because now they want to label you as hate speech. They want to label the things that you say as insightful. They want to label the things that you say as being detrimental to. It's not helpful. I think that we've come to a point where political discourse and understanding and conversations has come to a point where it's almost stopped. And if you have a different idea, you can't do it. And as I said before, during the middle part of the show, I mean, God spoke to Satan and they had a conversation about his servant Job. They actually had a conversation. So even though that you have two entities which are diametrically opposed to one another, they still had a conversation. We've taken the ability to have a conversation off the table. And so how can we improve anything? How can we make anything better? How can we make our society better for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our kids today if we don't have the ability to have intellectual, intelligent conversation? And that's my pet peeve. Is here at the Todd Allen Show, we don't all agree. We don't all walk lockstep with one another. But the thing that we do have for one another is that we respect one another as human beings. Even Khalid. I say that. I mean, I got mad love for Khalid. If it weren't for Khalid and Ashley and you, Darvio, this show would not work. But we argue, we fuss, we fight off air, and we don't always agree, but the one thing we have for one another is that we value each other's opinion, even if we don't agree with it. We don't agree to disagree. We just flat out don't agree. Right? We just flat out don't agree, and that's okay, because at the end of the day, we love and we respect one another. Everybody here, we're the Todd Allen Show. We're on FCB. And for all the Americans who are listening to me out there in Radio Land, as they said on WWE, right, that hear my voice on Radio Land, when you leave this country and you go to another place, they don't see you as black, white, yellow, pink, polka dot, or blue. They see you as an American, flat out. And until we see ourselves as American, we can't fix this. And we have to hold our politicians and our media responsible for the garbage that's going on, flat out, whether a Republican or whether a Democrat, whether they're independent or whether whatever it is that they want to classify themselves are, the people who are leaders who want power, we have to hold them accountable. And what's happening is we're giving them a pass. If they've got a D on their name, we're giving them a pass. If they've got an R on their name, we're giving them a pass. At the end of the day, we don't give anybody passes here at the Todd Allen Show. We're all Americans, and we all have inalienable rights that are given to us by the Constitution. So we believe in that document called the Constitution until they change the law. So that's my rant.
Okay.
Good job. That was impressive.
It's almost like being baptized.
And that's the end of the show.
Right. Start unplug stuff.
That was almost like you remember the end of the Jerry Springer show when he'd have his Jerry Springer moment. That was your Jerry Springer.
I'm sorry, I can't trust anybody to pay the hooker with a check.
And there's, we went from Professor Todd back to Disrespectful Todd. There we go.
Irreverent Todd. Hey, we can't give a hall pass to everybody. Y'all. Come on now. Yeah.
I don't even know where you're going.
That was a southern part of the state too. Yeah. We didn't do a You Big Dummy on that, did we?
No, because that's, what is that, 20 years old?
But it's priceless. It has never been duplicated. So we have a few more moments. Let me.
Yeah, you have about 6 minutes.
And so here's another thing that I kind of want to talk about. In my travels overseas, the one thing that I noticed is that, and we talk about active shooters. The reason why a lot of these places have active shooters is because they're soft targets. And so one way that you harden targets is that you harden targets by not making it soft, right? Mm-hmm. So I went to a cafe. And I'm just going to go in and get a coffee and a Danish. Lo and behold, when I walk in there, there's a security guard in a snappy uniform. I mean, uniform down is not the police, as they say, but it's a security guard. But it's an armed security guard. Yeah. And lo and behold, guess what this armed security guard had at a cafe? A sawed-off shotgun. Mm-hmm. There's no smoke coming into that cafe. Trust and believe.
Yeah.
Because for the most part, most people, in my view, and again, this is just an opinion, is that if they're going to do these kinds of things, they're still, unless they're, you know, looking for, have a death wish and looking to be become a martyr in some sense, self-preservation is still at the forefront of their mind.
Mm-hmm.
This is why people don't walk into police stations and shoot up police stations. This is why, you know, this is why many people are hard pressed to walk into a military base and start shooting up a military base. You know, because these are hard targets. These are targets where people are armed, and you know, smoke is going to come your way if you go in there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And so I think, and again, when you go to a football game, I don't know if, I mean, and I know many people here in Cleveland are going to go to the Browns game. So so take a look. You will see armed security at the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a reason for that.
It's called not a soft target.
Well, no, it's the reason, because the city is paying for public safety. Well, as opposed, now, if we turn to Columbia, then that's the end of us. If we get to the point where everywhere you go, somebody got a sawed off.
What I'm simply saying.
I understand what you're saying.
What am I saying?
You're saying that basically you're making an argument for every place having like armed security. If we get to that point, then we're done.
But let me ask you this, because I kind of go back and forth on this too. But aren't we kind of already at that point?
No,
like,
we're not.
Don't we need it?
Well, I would say this. That's where,
because I know people don't want to live in a police state.
That's the only logical solution to stop this from happening.
Right.
But again, if we get to that point, thank you
for calling me logical. I appreciate that.
Well, no. I'm saying, as opposed to legislation, that you think you're going to control the,
I didn't, because I'm not, I'm I didn't not, mention
I'm,
legislation.
I'm not you. I'm
no,
not
he's
you.
Saying as opposed to, it's either that or this.
Right.
That's what you're saying. Right.
So I'm saying this.
But here's the thing. What legislation can stop this?
That's my point. There isn't any. And I don't believe that
there even,
is.
Because even if you go and reinstate the assault weapons ban, like you mentioned a couple of segments ago, there are people that already have them.
Yeah, they load it down. I know two 19-year-olds that got enough weapons to fill this room. And it's like,
so what the hell are you supposed to do?
And are those people that have those weapons to fill this room, in your view, would they be the type to actually go into a Walmart and shoot people?
No.
Okay, that's also my point. I mean, as horrific as those situations have been, it's a small segment of the population that has done that.
Yeah, but it's
the majority of people who have these weapons. The majority of the people who have these weapons are law-abiding citizens.
That's true. That's true.
Well, you know,
a small amount of people can do a lot of harm.
So do we legislate? Do we take the rights away from the larger group of people because of the small
group?
We do
it every day. Why you got to take your shoes off when you go to the airport? I mean, well,
yeah. only TSA here in the United States. In other places, you don't have to do that.
That's what we're dealing with, the United States.
Well, I understand that. Well,
so
I mean,
everything we do is because of a small group of people.
Well,
you go to the airport, you got to strip down. I'm pretty much naked, you know.
I haven't been to that TSA. Let me know where that one is.
Yeah. And think
about, he's right, though. I mean, we had one major, well, we've had more than one, you know.
Yeah.
But we had one devastating attack on 9/11. It changed everything. We gave up a lot of
freedoms,
civil liberties.
Right.
And the American public wanted that change.
Well,
I'm not
did they
saying
want it
that
or was it publicized? Did they want it or was it necessarily
no.
publicized?
We demanded it at the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that's a good thing.
Right.
But we have done it.
It created a whole new government bureaucracy in Homeland Security.
Right.
It changed banking laws. It changed immigration laws. It changed every life on 9/11, on 9/12 became different as we knew it.
No question.
So with this kind of situation, Sandy Hook was a sickening, ill-feeling thing to have a bunch of kids shot up, right?
Right.
Columbine, Sandy Hook, and now this are the events that I think have just continued to push things to the point where we may turn into Israel, where everywhere you go, there's somebody with a pistol.
Are they safe?
Well, Israel is the size of New Jersey, so of course they're safe.
The point I'm trying to make
this
is...
This is a huge country.
I don't see any way out of it. I understand the reason why you don't want to do it, but I don't see any way out of it.
There isn't.
Was the Wild West is really as wild as people say it was,
okay,
because everybody was strapped.
But again, you're talking about a different time, and this is a much larger country
So here's my question. If you walk down the street now, and I'm not advocating this, but I'm just saying we're playing what ifs. If you walk down the street today, all right, and 9 out of 10 people had a weapon, do you think that someone would run up and down the street shooting?
You never know. Absolutely. you never know.
Okay. Be- crazy,
listen,
it's called a deterrent, right?
No, it's not. I don't think anything is a deterrent. Listen, we're going on the other side, but I'll tell you why I say that and why I'm not optimistic about this whole thing.
Okay. Thank you. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show.
The Todd Allen Show. Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla when I used to walk everywhere. Look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Comfy in my own skin. And I don't stress as much. Dad, I hope he's still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. Okay, Ashley, I'm going to ask you to referee this.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, because I'm just going to sit and watch. This is going to be...
Yeah, and I'm throwing-ish.
Nobody's scared of you for this.
I'm scared of you, motherfucker.
Right. Yeah. Under normal stances, circumstances, when I go into these kinds of things, I tell people that I don't go into battle of wits with an unarmed person. But you're not one of them. You're okay. Armed and dangerous, right?
Thank you.
So, all right. So, when we last laughed...
Get it together now.
When we went to break.
There you go.
Before we went to break, we were talking about the idea of how to harden soft targets. And I had mentioned that the way to harden a soft target is for the target to no longer be soft. And I made an example of how I went to a coffee shop in Bogota, Colombia, and there was private security that was armed to the teeth. And I said, there's no smoke coming to that cafe. And you had mentioned some reservations about that, that that's not the society that we kind of want to go to.
Well,
I'm just setting it up.
Well, again, you have the Colombia is a whole different animal than the United States. I'm sure that the whole country isn't that well guarded. I guess wherever the tourists go, like in Mexico, you got guys walking around with sawed-offs. You know, it was like
you actually have fire teams walking the beach. I was there and absolutely. I saw military. I saw Marines and walking the beach with
they're
the police
protecting
force.
Their economic interests.
Absolutely. And so the point I want to make is this: that in the United States, there if it's a church. You know, churches have gone to having armed security guards.
Absolutely,
we don't see it as much at Walmart. We did not see this at the Garlic Festival, although that there was a quick response to those kinds of things. We certainly are seeing that they're trying to harden schools by having metal detectors and that kind of thing. Do you believe that the if we don't go to an armed populace? In a sense, where it's visibly armed. I don't mean this conceal and carry bovine excrement, but the idea of a open carry. Mm-hmm. And I think Ohio is an open carry state. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily want to. I'm paraphrasing. Do you want to see us go that route where we're armed and visible force, or are you more along the lines of we need to reevaluate? The Constitution that the right to bear arms.
Nah, I don't think that's going to happen. So,
well, no, whether or not it should happen, it's going to happen.
It's not.
Okay.
It's not. We've only had one major Second Amendment case, and that was the Heller case a few years ago, and there's been no more taken. They're not taken anymore at the Supreme Court. So let's do this. I say there's two tracks we need. We need to change our society the way we think. In the way our culture, we have a cultural problem in the society, which manifests itself in violence and it manifests itself in drug use and all these other issues we have. So we have cultural issues, number one.
Well,
we
need to work on that. You can't fix that in the short term.
No. Well, I'm not saying short term. I'm not saying in a week or two or a month or a year.
Okay,
I'm saying that we need to do that.
But then that's not going to stop these shootings.
Well, let me finish.
Okay.
I don't think anything is going to, quote, stop the shootings, but I tell you what can be done. And I actually thought about this a year ago, and to the point where I was going to write a letter to some legislator.
A manifesto.
No. A letter to say, look, this is what I think people need to focus on. Instead, everybody runs to Washington all the time.
Right.
Which I think is absolutely foolish. It's like trying to move an elephant with a feather.
Right.
You know, you're not getting nothing done in Washington.
Right.
So if I was running my state, if I was DeWine, he has a 17-point plan, which I have not read yet. Maybe I'll read it. You need to start very quietly. Synagogues have given their rabbis and their, you know, parishioners. I don't know if you call them parishioners or not, but their members.
Attendees.
They've very quietly given them green light to arm themselves. So some of them I know even going to shooting ranges now.
Right.
Because we're at that point where houses of worship are not sacred.
Correct.
So I think that churches need to take it upon themselves to get right. Because, hey, they come in, you need to make sure it don't happen in your place, number one.
Pastor Papa Cat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So churches and religious houses need to do this. Number two, corporations who have billions and billions of dollars, like Walmart, they need to form their own security forces because police officers around the country are tired of Walmarts because there's so much crime to come from Walmarts to the point where South Euclid here in Cleveland, they were happy. Cleveland Heights was happy to get rid of that Walmart and move it to South Euclid because they got 30, 40 calls a month or more because Walmart is a source of a lot of violence. So let Walmart foot out hundreds of millions of dollars a year or millions of dollars, whatever they have to do to harden their stores.
So you're saying private security?
That's number one, I think. Everybody needs to get hard, but it doesn't need to come from Washington per se.
I got you. Okay.
The states need to make sure schools are fortified. Make sure all of your schools are fortified on your state level. Those are things you can do without legislation, like from Washington. So everybody needs to get real. This is real. It's gotten real a long time ago. We've been slow to catch up.
So in your view, it's not necessarily gun law legislation, as some of the politicians say, but it's we have the right to bear arms, but we also have the right to protect ourselves.
Absolutely.
And there are agencies that would be willing to fit the bill that we could actually use to be able to protect ourselves.
Yeah, and it's available. When you're sitting on $20 billion or $100 billion, whatever you're sitting on, like these universities are sitting on this money we talked about last week, your campuses should have no security issues. You have the money to fortify your campuses.
So, Ashley, what are your thoughts about what he just said? I mean, private security?
Well, I don't know. I agree that we are not going to like repeal or amend the Second Amendment anytime soon. Having a Second Amendment does not mean that we can't pass restrictions. The Second Amendment says you have a right to bear arms. We've sort of collectively agreed that bearing arms doesn't include building pipe bombs and carrying them around. Mm. We don't let private citizens have nuclear weapons. Mm. As far as I know, I'm pretty sure you can't like own bombs and things like that. Those are arms. Mm. So we do have rules. I think that we don't have to pass an assault weapons ban. And yes, I know there's technical issues, what counts as an assault weapon. But I mean, we could do a lot more to make it more difficult and have more surveillance of the type of people who want these guns. It could be a special license. I mean, I don't really know where to start.
Right.
With private security, I think we've reached the point, it's not like debating whether or not it's a good thing. It's almost like we need it. I do think these shooters would be deterred knowing that if they pull out a gun, they're pretty much going to get shot immediately, which is why they don't go to police state. You never hear about a mass shooting at a police station.
Right.
There was one case in Dallas where police officers were ambushed by someone who was angry at the police.
Right.
With the whole Black Lives Matter, not saying that he was a member of Black Lives
Right.
Matter or anything, but you know, with Right. it was in retaliation.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the police. But I agree with Khalid. This society has some serious sickness within it. I will stand by my point that we need to be treating these people like terrorist cells.
Right.
And busting them up.
Okay.
And we gave up a lot of freedoms in response to 9/11. We were willing to have the government go in and violate some civil liberties in order to keep us safe, and it worked. We haven't been hit again, knock on wood, like
right.
we were on 9/11. We should treat domestic terrorists the same way.
Okay. Darvio.
So in what Khalid was saying about, you know, the armed security, I'm actually, you know, unfortunately in favor of that. And I say unfortunately because it seems like we have to. my father was one of the founders of the Cleveland Municipal School District Police Department. So I'm very big on schools in particular. They need security and they need armed people and metal detectors and everything that you would have to do. And I guess we're beyond the point now where we have to ask ourselves the question, are we ready? Are we willing to trade liberty for security? We're well beyond that because our society has degraded itself to such a degree that if we don't do anything, then it's going to continue to get worse. And then the answers at that point are going to be even more restrictive. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I feel it's unfortunate. I understand the concerns that people have about losing personal liberty and things like that, but I don't see a way out.
And I appreciate the comments that each one of you've made, but and here's my take on that. The one thing that makes you free is you have the ability to walk around and nobody's going to mess with you. And sometimes people are not going to bother you and not going to mess with you because you come from a position of strength. And that gives you freedom. So it doesn't give you the license to bully people. It doesn't give you the license to make other people feel uncomfortable because of your strength. But when you are strong, when you are hardened and you have and people know that you have the ability to defend yourself, it gives you a strong sense of freedom and it gives you the ability to walk around because now no one's going to bother you to try to take your freedoms away from you because you are strong. The reason why we see, in my view, some of the things that are taking place and the reason why politicians on both sides are using this as a political potato, hot potato, is because they see how weak we are as a population because we do not come together. When we harden ourselves and come together and say, as you did say, Khalid, that here's the things that we're going to take. We're going to hold our legislation, our state legislators accountable, and we're not going to run to Washington every 5 minutes. We're not going to blame Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden or President Trump. We're going to take our lives in our own hand, and we're going to be responsible for our own freedom, and we're going to live up to the values that this country has said, freedom for all. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. We'll be right back.
The Todd Allen Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla when I used to walk everywhere. Look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Comfy in my own skin. And I don't stress as much. Dad, I hope you're still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
The Todd Allen Show.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. Okay, we're going to change gears here a little bit, and we're going to go to a very popular segment that we have here at The Todd Allen Show. And we're going to kick it off with Ashley and Khalid with Really.
Really?
All right, so this is amongst the interesting things that come out of pop culture on a weekly basis here in this country. There's this Hollywood blockbuster, well, I don't know what to call it, a blockbuster, that satirizes killing of deplorables, causes outrage. Now, apparently there's a movie, they got this movie done. It's a controversial movie about privileged vacationers hunting, quote, deplorables for sport. Is ruffling feathers. I wonder if Hillary in this. Ruffling feathers more than a month before its scheduled release after tragic mass shootings in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton. The Hunt is billed as a satire that follows wealthy thrill seekers taking a private jet to a five-star resort where they embark on a deeply rewarding, quote-unquote, expedition that involves hunting down and killing designated humans. Nice. The Hollywood Reporter wrote it on Tuesday that Universal is reevaluating its strategy for this controversial satire.
It's not coming out.
The violent R-rated film from producer Jason Blum's Blumhouse Follow. You know him, Dario?
No.
Jason Blum. Follows a dozen MAGA types who wake up in a clearing and realize they're being stalked for sport by elite liberals. THR's Kim Masters wrote, "It features gun blazing along with other ultra-violent killings as elites pick off their prey." According to the Hollywood Trade publication, characters in the film refer to victims as deplorables. Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. The report noted that a character asked, did anyone see what our ratchet...
Rat effer.
Yeah. What is that? I don't know that word.
Rat effer.
Okay. In chief just did. So, okay, we know what that's about.
Right.
Oh, boy. And this is kind of, like, disturbing. And they go on to basically analyze the film. It says, The Hunt stars Betty Gilpin and Hilary Swank, who plays characters who represent opposite sides of the political divide, according to Masters, who added that it was originally titled Red State versus Blue State. Okay.
Wow.
Okay, so at least we know what they're fantasizing about.
Yeah.
No wonder they're accusing people of, you know, inciting violence, because they know what goes through their own heads.
It's projection.
Yeah.
This was a really bad idea. I mean, and I read something else, because I'd heard about this movie. I read something else where they said the reason why they wrote the movie, whoever the writer was to illustrate the absurdity of our political debates, but that's the way you thought to do it?
Yeah, and the mass shooters in Texas and Dayton killed people to publicize gun violence. I mean,
who thought this was, who greenlit this? Like, who thought?
They got Hilary Swank.
And the reason why they said blockbuster is because I believe they had a big budget.
Yeah.
So, wow. Like, who greenlit this? This was a, why don't they just, this was a bad idea.
Why don't they just do a remake of Idiocracy?
Nah. They should.
That would probably be like number one in the country,
I mean,
right now.
Instead of doing,
or actually, it would probably flop because people wouldn't get it because they just be looking at real life.
Right. I mean,
it's discriminatory.
Right. But even though that they say this is a satire, I don't think that people really understand satirical humor in many instances.
I mean, I think that
this
Hollywood.
This is not.
But you know what? One thing about Hollywood, you ever noticed that their ideas are all the same. Like, I love spy thrillers, right? I've seen all of the Jason Bourne movies and things of that nature.
It's the same
thing. That's the point I'm going to make. Yeah. Every time they do a movie on the intelligence agencies, it's always about the agency wanting to kill one of their agents, right?
Yeah.
Right. A rogue agent.
Yeah, rogue agent. They set him up and they're trying to kill him. No matter who it is, he's always trying to be – they're always trying to kill him. You know, and remember that movie I think it was might have been Mark Wahlberg. I think it was Mark Wahlberg or something, where they were chasing him down. He was an assassin, and they were trying to murder him. It's like this is the same movie over and over again.
Right.
So their perspective is so transparent.
Right.
What was the name of this movie again?
The Hunt.
The Hunt.
I'm trying to look up the budget.
Yeah. I mean, but this is, again, when
this
we
is dumb.
When we talk about the level of intelligence of the American population. It's really sad.
We can't insult our listeners, but we do every week. But go ahead.
No, I mean,
$18.2 million. So that's not a major. That's not a big budget, but it's big to regular people.
Yeah, it's just amazing though how they're very disrespectful of the intelligence of the American population. I mean, I think it's just sad.
Who the hell thought this movie? I can't get over that. Who the hell thought this was a good idea?
Well, who's the executive producer?
Well, I always say that nobody ever, and it is a saying that nobody ever went broke.
Jason Blum and Damon Lindelof.
Never heard of them. But there's a saying that nobody ever went broke overestimating the intelligence of the American public or something like that. You remember the pet rock back in the day? Somebody put a rock in the box, and it sold millions.
Millions.
Remember that, Mom? Yeah, pet rock.
That's before me and Ashley.
They had a pet rock bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then they actually had newspapers that you could put the pet rock in.
Yeah.
They sold it. I mean,
there are people
now. That was a thing. That was a thing.
There are people right now who got their college degree because their dad or their mom was invested in the pet rock company.
Or Beanie Babies.
Beanie Babies, that was another
one.
At least Beanie Baby was a thing. It was an actual object. It wasn't a rock.
That was a thing, though. I had one.
Did you have one?
We all had one.
I didn't have
one. You didn't have one?
No.
Yeah.
How much did it cost?
I was a kid. I don't remember.
Do you remember how much it cost? My mother's in the studio.
No, it was a Beanie Baby. All you had to do was like buy a kid's meal at McDonald's, and the Beanie Baby came with it.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have a pet rock, Mom? No. Yeah, we did. It was just a thing.
You had a pet rock?
I was a kid. You know,
I used to go out and collect rocks.
Yeah,
You know,
well,
I called them
but this
rocks.
Came in a box.
So that was
well,
your yeah. boot. That was your bootleg version of the pass.
Right, and it was free.
But, right. but I'll say this:
always the economist.
All right.
there was a complaint years ago, and I had this discussion. Maybe I think we did it on this show, where people have complained about certain content in films. Right, mm-hmm. They want better quality of films, particularly black films. So we looked up
We've
the
talked
top
about this.
We looked up the top 10 grossing black films, and they were all. Silly comedies like Little Man, Little Man, you know, right.
Because we've talked about when we talked about it, it wasn't even it, we talked about the black films, we talked about films in general, and we talked about television and media in general because that's a common complaint everybody always talks
so
about.
So, wasn't Dolomite,
but they don't,
but Stupid sells. I mean, yeah. it does sell, man. Yeah. It does. So, this film here, somebody wrote a check for it, and they thought it was, it's going straight to DVD. You know, because it's already got so much bad publicity.
It's going straight to Amazon Prime.
Shooting MAGA types. I mean, this was
dumb. It was just dumb.
Even the choice of words.
Well, and the thing
that becomes insightful too.
And the thing about it, like there, it's supposed to be a satire, and it's supposed to be a satire of our political culture. So you're going to make a satire about the coarseness of our political culture by showing people on the left and the right shooting each other.
Well, basically, you know, one side shooting the other side.
Well, the premise is the MAGA types are going to shoot back.
Was there
so it's a war.
So they got a hold of some guns and they're starting.
Yeah,
to shoot back.
it's gonna be
brilliant,
right?
Brilliant.
So that's what I'm saying. You're critiquing the coarseness of our political discourse by showing the left and right shooting each other. That's brilliant. Brilliant. Stupid.
Wow. Hollywood, man. Hollywood.
I don't believe this was intended to be a satire. It's just like there's some film or play or something showing George Bush being assassinated back in the 2000s.
Everyone
defended it like on free speech grounds and oh yes, this is a work of art. Like no, it's like what that's what they're imagining their perfect world to be like. Yeah. I really believe that.
Oh, I do. I do. I remember that film.
Here it is. Yeah. Let me read the premise real quick from Wikipedia. The film follows 12 strangers who mysteriously wake up in a clearing. They don't know where they are or how they got there. They discover that they've been chosen to be hunted in a game devised by a group of globalist elite billionaires. The hunters gather in a remote facility called the Manor House, but their sport gets derailed when one of the hunted, Crystal, fights back and starts killing them one by one. The film is described as a class warfare allegory and extremely bloody. So that's what it is. It is a right and left shooting.
I mean, all these celebrities, I'm sure, I haven't even looked it up, but I'm sure they're all out there blaming Trump for for these shootings in El Paso. And I did say he needs to take responsibility for his rhetoric, his dehumanizing rhetoric towards Latinos. But, like, Hollywood is the biggest propagator of violent imagery that people are imitating.
We're going to show a movie with right and left shooting each other.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. And that's what you're going to use as the, our political discourse is so coarse, so let's show us shooting each other.
But isn't it
stupid?
The all the global left-wing billionaires are out there. You know what I mean? I mean, it's stunning.
Financing this film.
Yes. This is just so dumb.
They are.
This is just so dumb.
But think about it. It's harder for us to get money. But there's somebody out there that with $18 million, yeah. They just didn't know what to do with. And they said, okay.
Just here, put it in a pile and set it on fire.
Yeah, well, just take it.
And now, to your point, just put it in private security and just, you know, hard somebody's
right. And now with everything that happened, like Todd mentioned earlier, this movie may not even come out now. So you just spent $18 million on a movie that was a bad idea to begin with, and now it may not even come out.
Yeah.
Well, stupid.
Speaking of which, what happened to that film that we talked about with the guy playing the black female?
Oh yeah, the white yeah that stupid
I forgot what
movie.
The name of the movie was.
I don't even remember.
It wasn't Shaniqua or something.
It was some
white guy LaQuisha, playing
LaQuisha
a black
or something. Yeah, LaQuisha.
Stupid movie. Did that ever come out?
I don't think it did.
It would have made millions.
Well, we had a bet.
We had a bet. I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking about that too. Because Khalid and I were both.
Y'all got your hand out like I'm a government program.
No, you made the bet.
I was about to say we got our hand out like you always lose bets around.
Didn't he make the bet? You remember Ashley?
You weren't here that day. But oh, I was there. I remember talking about this movie.
Yeah, because we said it was not going to sell.
I'm sorry. I was misquoted.
Okay. Yeah.
Good thing about it is all of this stuff is archived, so we can find if you want to make us really be Petty Pendergrass. We can go we'll back find and it. Find.
We'll play your words.
Yeah. Yeah, well, where'd that come from? Yeah. I'm going to do my imitation of Mueller.
I don't. Yeah, I can't get into that.
I don't understand why. What? How did they? If you take them at face value about what the point of the movie was, how did they think? How did they think that would help?
They just thought maybe their supporters would think.
And they don't think that this. I mean, based upon the rhetoric, they don't think that rhetoric would incite anything.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. This is just stupid all the way around.
But you know what? Real quick, there's been actual physical violence against some politicians over the last year. You remember, of course, Steve Scalise, but you remember...
Didn't Rand Paul get shot or
he stabbed jumped
or something?
On, yeah. And there's two politicians in Minnesota who were physically attacked, and one of them, a guy came after him with a knife.
Wow.
And these were all Republican politicians. I don't know if you remember this.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. So you got to harden these targets. Did you say wrap it up? Oh,
yes, okay. I did.
Folks, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show.
The Todd Allen Show. Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla when I used to walk everywhere. Look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Comfy in my own skin. And I don't stress as much. Dad, I hope he's still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
The Todd Allen Show.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. This has been a very interesting show, but I want to keep us consistent with what we do. We do talk politics. I know we talked about politics on the first half of the first hour of the show. We talked about the shootings, but I want to get back to the Democrats and who they could possibly be running up against Donald Trump in the next election. But I want to talk about the robust numbers of Kamala Harris. She's really taken it on the chin since the last Democratic debate, hasn't she, Ashley?
Yeah, where she was called out by Tulsi Gabbard for putting people in jail for drug offenses, even though she laughs about her own marijuana use and brags about it to try to sound cool.
Right.
I can't stand Kamala Harris, and I just have no respect for her background as a prosecutor and what she did in California.
Wow, that's pretty strong.
Yeah, she's like the last person I would ever, if I had to pick a Democrat, she would be the last one.
Uh-huh.
Pete Buttigieg would be probably my first choice. I don't know about that. But anyway, I think these candidates that are media darlings, like Kamala Harris, like Elizabeth Warren, just have no chance of ever winning the general election.
Right.
They're very popular with the media, but... their poll numbers are low among Democrats.
Right.
Democrats don't even want to vote for them. So, I mean.
Well, the one thing that's interesting about Kamala Harris is that if you speak out against Kamala Harris, that they automatically label you a racist.
Of course they do.
Or they label you, they label you as something disparaging if you don't agree with her or if you attack her. The interesting thing is that who she was attacked by. They can't disparage her.
Oh, yes, they can.
Well, they tried to disparage her.
They've called her a Russian asset.
Yes.
Well,
and they also
but they can't use the race or the gender card.
Oh, yes, they can.
Really?
See, we covered this hierarchy of victimhood, right?
No, we weren't allowed.
But
let's do that now.
Okay. So
no, you won't.
So jump on in, Ashley. So the hierarchy of victimhood.
So here's how.
Khalid sat in the studio about. A couple of weeks ago, and made a hierarchy of victimhood.
We assisted. We won't say
we
that
made
was
a out. Chart.
Yeah, you weren't. You
a
weren't,
chart of who
a
the
flow
top
chart.
Victims are.
Yeah.
You weren't the only Lex Luthor behind that whole thing.
We had like NCAA brackets.
Basically, conservatives can never be victims because they're traitors and sellouts, and they don't count. But women of color who are liberals are like at the top of the victimhood hierarchy.
Well, you're right.
Along with the gay, lesbian, transgender community. Yeah.
So here's what happened with Kamala. Kamala, Tulsi Gabbard, who I don't necessarily agree with a lot of what she says, but I think she is impressive.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
You know, she's the impressive. Most impressive one, the she's way impressive. She comports herself, the way she speaks. Just like this. Someone, I didn't vote for Barack Obama, and I wouldn't in 100 years. However, I think that I could see why people voted for him.
He's a likable guy.
He's a likable, he's impressive in terms of how he presents himself.
He's clean
how he
and
speaks.
He speaks well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joe Biden.
So I could see how somebody would be attracted to him as a candidate. I cannot see how people are attracted to Beto O'Rourke. He is as unimpressive as a candidate. This guy, I don't know what is appealing about. How did he come close to beating Ted Cruz other than him riding a skateboard? I'll never understand it.
Wow.
But Tulsi Gabbard, I think, is impressive. Kamala, I think, is not impressive at all. She comes across as being angry all the time. And she was picked on, Tulsi was, or called out by some of Kamala's fans on Twitter and the media, like Zerlina Maxwell and a couple of others, by saying, how dare you single out the black women for being, calling her arrogant.
Right.
You know?
Well, yeah, because you look at the hierarchy of victimhood, Kamala was one step above Tulsi.
Right.
Right.
So she called a black woman arrogant, but when a black woman is assertive, she's arrogant. But when the white one, you know, they play that card.
Right.
So they will always play it no matter who it's with, because they have the hierarchy of victimhood. They're high up on the charts.
Right.
And
white guys, you guys aren't even on the charts.
No.
So
they're always going to play that card. If you say something about her, doesn't she come across? Have you seen her smile one time?
Yeah, when she talked about smoking weed.
No, I'm talking about on the debate stage.
Oh, no.
She comes across as ticked off all the time.
Well,
and Bernie comes over, he yells all the time.
Yeah, with his hands up.
Billionaires and billionaires. You know, he's always he's an angry old man.
Does he wear a hearing aid?
That was pretty decent.
Yeah,
that impressed me. Yeah, that yeah, wasn't well, bad. Yeah.
And you didn't sound like a KGB Russian. Darby, what are your thoughts about the? Well, the interesting thing about Kamala's polling numbers is that she has 0% of the black vote.
Yes.
So this is your black woman who's angry, right? Who's got 0% of the
She's
black.
She's counting
vote.
On the female vote,
right.
Who vote 92% for Democrats.
But even right now. She's not among black voters in general. She's at 1 or 0%. Like this is, and we've talked a little bit about this before. This is one of the things that I'm always kind of hollering about is that you have these arguments that the pundits and political people and people who do politics for a living that they have. And then there's regular folks.
Right.
And you look at what regular folks are saying. She's getting 1% or 0 at right now. I think it's like 0% of the black vote.
Right.
Wow. So no matter what, how they're trying to run their campaign or how they're trying to present her, it's not penetrating with the black community.
She's the same as Beto, isn't she?
She's doing a little bit better than Beto, which is not saying much. She's
no. Yeah, they're both major. Low, aren't they?
Yeah, extremely. Beto is going nowhere. And I'll say this about Kamala. It's easy to be like a front runner until you're exposed. It's like a fighter that fights in his hometown a lot. And then when you fight out of town, it's like, oh, my God, he's really not that good. So she had one good debate, and she started feeling herself.
Right.
The next debate, she got slayed, and now she's basically back in her place.
Right.
If she gets on the stage with Tulsi Gabbard, she'll get destroyed because she doesn't comport herself well. She's not impressive. She's not. Tulsi is,
right.
And Tulsi actually has some real-world experience.
Right.
Kamala does not. Her claim to fame is basically locking people up and sleeping with Willie Brown. I mean, that's kind of what she's done. I'm not. Did I lie? Did
views
I lie?
And opinions no, are not no necessarily lies. Though.
I'm not lying.
No, you didn't lie. You didn't, you know,
I didn't
and,
make
and,
it up.
And to your point, I mean, Darvio said that, you know, one thing that we do not do.
Yep, I didn't lie on her.
Is lie.
Yep. So send your hate mail to Todd. But I did not lie. And... You know, I just say that once the race gets tight and you start seeing all the you know, weaker competition drop off, you'll see her flaws come out because her record in California is going to be exposed. And she won't. You notice she never denied anything that Tulsi said. She just dismissed her.
Yeah, well, she just said she has low poll numbers, so yeah. Who cares what she thinks?
She went Donald Trump on Tulsi.
Who did she say that just
terrible poll numbers?
He low-rated Tulsi Gabbard. That's what she did. Am I lying?
Well, I think she said that's just simply not true. That was her.
No, she never said that.
She didn't say
that. Not at the debate. She didn't, at the night of the debate, she didn't deny anything.
No, she didn't. I just did the job of the people, blah, blah, blah. She never denied anything. She never said, hold up, that's factually inaccurate. It is true. I had a guy, a friend of mine from California, been telling me about this for months. He hates Kamala. But I say this. Going forward, we'll see who makes the next debate stage. But Beto is, and I'm sorry, this is how backwards we are. Why is it that Pete Buttigieg is more comfortable appearing publicly with his husband than Kamala Harris is with hers?
Ooh, you really want to go there?
And listen, it's a fact.
Do you really want to go there?
I just did.
Well, you know why. I know why. Ashley knows why.
Yeah, well, listen. I'll tell you why. Because right now, just for those of you don't know.
You're really going to go there, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
That's what we do on the Todd Allen Show. We go there. That should be our tagline. The Todd Allen Show, we go there. Kamala Harris is married to a white man who she never has appeared publicly with, right? Pete Buttigieg is married also to a white man who he appears publicly with.
Right.
And politically, it is more detrimental for Kamala to appear with her husband.
Because of the hierarchy of victimhood.
Absolutely. He's a white man, and she doesn't think that's politically expedient to appear with him publicly, so she does not.
All right, so I'm changing the subject. I'm going right back to the poll. I pulled up the poll numbers in Quinnipiac. Quinnipiac found that just 1% of black voters support California Senator Kamala Harris.
Could this be the reason why?
New Jersey Senator Cory Booker has just 2% support overall, nearly all of it coming from white voters. So he's not getting any black support.
Who's
either.
This?
Cory Booker, your favorite politician.
Oh, God. Make me vomit.
He's not getting any black support either.
I hate that guy.
Wow. Tell us how
you hate
really
everybody.
No, I don't.
Right. You're the Kamala Harris.
He's the old
Harris
guy standing outside right. Screaming at the sky.
He's the Kamala Harris of the Todd Allen Show.
Just always angry.
Let me tell you.
Do you ever smile?
No, I'm going to tell you who. What I have contempt for people is when I think that they're phony. There are people on the left that I respect. I respect people like Dennis Kucinich, you know, who I think is a real legitimate. He's a real guy. He believes what he believes. He's not a fraud.
Right.
You know, I actually love our local councilman, Mike Polensic, you know,
right.
Longtime Democrat, friend of the show. At least he's been on our show and Dario's show. I used to work with my mom. There's a few people I can name, but I respect them just being who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the phony and the dramatic. Cory Booker took a camera crew with him while he was helping people out of the snow in Newark. I mean, if you want to help people, you don't take a camera crew with you. He's a fraud. He's a fake. He's an actor. And then he pops up with a girlfriend all of a sudden when he's running for president. I mean, you know, I don't like that. You know, nobody has ever seen him with a woman other than Gayle King. And now he's running for president. Oh, I got a boo.
Todd, you got 30 seconds left. Save this show.
Save this segment.
Yes.
We're Todd Allen Show. We go there.
Parachute, right? Please.
Right.
Jesus.
Yeah, let's just start unplugging the microphones. And just go to
good God.
Folks, you're listening to the Todd Allen Show. We'll be right back.
The Todd Allen Show. Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla. When I used to walk everywhere, look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Comfy in my own skin, and I don't stress as much. Dad, I hope he's still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
The Todd Allen Show.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. A very popular, in fact, this segment is so popular, it has its own show on iHeartRadio, and it's called You Big Dummy.
I'll spell it for you.
D-U-M-M-Y, period.
Stupid!
The reason that bad things happen to you is because you're a dumbass.
You big dummy!
Okay, so this is, this dummy doesn't, well, he's an American, but this comes from overseas. Okay, so.
So it's not Florida.
No, it's not
Florida. Wow.
Actually, there's roots to this story here in Ohio, which I'll explain later. So, you know, it's been going on in sports. A lot of athletes have been failing drug tests. We just had a couple of boxers in recent months failed drug tests. High-profile fighters. There's lots of athletes who have problems with failing drug tests. Okay, we know this. So in Europe, they had a doping test for a basketball player. And he's an American basketball player, DJ Cooper. And, he, you know, he took his test for his team, which I believe is in France. And the test, he failed the test.
Okay.
Came back with banned substances in his blood. But what was more shocking about the test, it revealed that he was pregnant. He is expecting a baby, according to this drug test. You got any ideas, Ashley?
Yes, he used a pregnant woman's urine to try to fake, and it was dirty.
Yes.
So he not only tried to fake a drug test, but he picked urine from someone who's not only pregnant but also using drugs.
Now here's his girlfriend,
and her name is not Joanna Mann.
No. So okay, here's the background. He's a former Ohio University standout. He never was made it to the league, but he played a little bit in the league.
Ohio University.
Yes,
I went there.
Oh yeah.
What's his name?
Oh, you might know him. DJ. No, he's DJ Cooper.
No,
never heard of him.
I don't.
Okay.
Oh, so, say how old he is?
It does not.
He's probably younger than me.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's still playing overseas. He's definitely in his probably early mid 20s. So here's the test. So the test came back with his urine revealed the presence of human chorionic gonadotropin, or HCG, which is a hormone made by placenta during pregnancy. His girlfriend didn't know she was pregnant.
Wow. So this was his girlfriend?
Yes.
But, okay, so he's taking banned substances
with
her.
The urine for that report actually belonged to his girlfriend, who likely didn't know she was pregnant at the time. So FIBA suspended, which is the Federal National Basketball Association, suspended Cooper for fraud. He's eligible to return June 20th, 2020.
Wow.
I would love to know when they sat him down and told him,
"You're pregnant."
Hey man,
congratulations! You're expecting.
Yeah. I've heard of a lot of. I've heard of this happening actually pretty frequently.
Really,
this isn't like an unusual.
Really,
really.
Yeah, a lot of people who try to fake drug tests apparently have done this and gotten caught because they're male and they're coming up pregnant.
Wow. Stupid.
Oh, wait. Are we allowed to say anymore that that only women get pregnant?
Oh,
or is that
well,
like
no,
transphobic?
Yes, that is. That's transphobic.
Because I missed the memo. What?
Yeah. There's
I said, are we even allowed to say that women get pregnant and not, you know, pregnant person?
Yeah. Well, because it's strange that you mentioned
Now men can get pregnant because, you know, they're transgender.
Well, this blood test shows.
Yeah. But some guy made a comment to that effect about, you know, women as far as having cycles, and I think that somebody was offended by that. It was I read this recently. I'll have to.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What?
So yeah, people, you're not allowed to make any distinctions as far as gender or whatever. People get offended, you know, because some people who are trans may identify as female, and they may have a. Anyway, I won't go there. But people
Thank
are offended.
You have some barriers.
I guess some filter.
Talk about Cory Booker some more.
Yeah. Right. But I think that this guy, so he's not going to get paid, and it's hard getting paid in European league anyway.
Anyway,
he's going to be out till 2020. Like he's going to have problems over the next, I don't know.
Well, he's better figure
7-8
out
months. He better put that girlfriend to work.
go sell cars like a former
Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
What's the, you can't just stay off the weed.
They
can't just pass a drug test.
I'm gonna tell you how big this problem is now. A lot of employers are telling people, look, just get through the orientation process before you start smoking. Because
it's past 90
I'm not
days.
Even going to try to yeah. get you to
14% increase in marijuana use amongst drug tests are coming back 14% higher when it comes to marijuana tests now, and that's according to Quest Diagnostics, which does all the drug testing. So people are smoking more now than ever, and I think Stephen A. Smith's got a little.
Say it again.
Stay off the weed.
Right, please. Yeah.
But it's a problem. They can't get people to stay off. Yeah. Now, it's a good thing they don't test in the NBA for weed because you would not have a league.
Right.
Fans will be playing. Right. I mean, it's just they don't test. Then they don't need to test for weed in the NBA. Yeah. There's a famous former Cavalier player who I will not mention who is a huge weed head.
Really?
Yeah. But luckily, he helped us get a championship, so I can't talk about him. But anyway, big problem.
Is that the one that doesn't like to keep a shirt on?
Not that one.
Oh, we'll talk about this off air.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Tell you know the professional basketball players over in Europe to stay off the weed because your direct deposit depends on it.
Yeah, but they don't care. Like no. he did a You Big Dummy before with the guy who was an NFL player who decided he wanted to quit because he wanted to smoke weed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a Dallas Cowboy player.
Yeah, Dallas Cowboy player. Who was making pretty good money. Very good money. Hundreds of thousands a year. And he decided he'd rather smoke weed.
Yeah. Weed man upset about it.
Yeah, that's right. Because he can't afford the amount that he used to afford.
Right.
But I think that's a problem. So these guys overseas, and there's a lot less restrictions on what they do. The contracts in Europe are only like 2 years at best. So they bounce from country to country.
Yeah.
And sometimes when a team...
Yeah, a buddy of mine is playing in Italy right now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
You talking about Lighty?
Mm-hmm.
He's in Italy?
Mm-hmm.
So you have like 2 year contracts, and the owners will not pay them if they're not playing well. Mm-hmm. They will hold their checks.
Yeah, they can do that.
They can do that. Like, you guys are not playing too well. Payday next week.
Could you imagine
sales,
that?
Sales are down.
Yes.
So you're going to be out there selling popcorn right in their
uniforms. Could you imagine that? If you had a bad week, you don't get paid.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do that.
So yeah, overseas basketball ain't no joke.
It was no joke. And this dude is not getting paid till next year. And then, I mean, I know he's not making any more than a couple hundred grand a year.
And his girlfriend is
pregnant. And his girlfriend's
pregnant. Yeah. Wow.
He has a baby on the way.
Yeah, there's a lot of smoke coming his way.
Yeah.
Pardon the pun.
So, what is it? DJ Cooper, you are the big dummy of the week.
So, I got a story from Akron.
Is this a You Big Dummy as well?
I'll let you and our listeners decide. Since it's so close to home, I can't call it.
Okay, let's go.
As you all know, I'm from Akron, and many times I'm not real proud of it. Because of some of the things that come out of my hometown, unfortunately. I mean, it's not the place that I grew up. It's a very different place. But I had the opportunity to see some people that I have not seen for over 20 years. And, you know, it was good to see them. It was really nice to see them. But this kind of goes to, I don't know, I just don't know what to call it. So I'm sitting down with friends of mine that I haven't seen in a while, and showing my wedding pictures, and you know, hey, you know, this is my wife, and da 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 da. And they say, well, is she here? Well, no, she's, you know, in XYZ, yada yada yada. And she says, well, does she speak English? I'm like, no, you know, not very well. She doesn't speak English. So here was the question: well, if she doesn't speak English, how do you communicate?
Smoke signals.
and I just paused and looked at him like, is our education system that bad? Where
sign language?
It's just like, well, if they don't speak English, how do you talk to them? Wow. Really? So if a person doesn't speak English, there's, you know, just a series of grunts and clicks.
That sounds like one of those people who see someone that doesn't speak English and then they start talking really loud.
Yeah, they want to start yelling.
Like that's going to
incredible. Incredible. I mean, I just can't. I just And part of the problem is that we have no concept or no clue of what it's like to be a polyglot or even bilingual. Let's just even not even a polyglot, but let's just say bilingual. I mean, is that when you were growing up, Ash, did you learn a foreign language or did
Spanish?
You have, okay.
I started learning it in school in seventh grade. We started pretty late. I think they start a lot earlier now.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty good at it for a while. I can still read most Spanish. Right. I'm not very good at speaking it, but I can understand.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know. That's such a dumb question. How
Yeah.
And we just stare at each other.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
Told you smoke signals, man.
And Khalid, I know that you I don't know if I would call you a polyglot, but I know that you're bilingual. I mean, you.
Can you explain that word for people who aren't professors?
A person that speaks many languages.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right.
You didn't go to Akron Public, Khalid, or Darvio, so I'm really amazed that you didn't.
It's not about what I know. It's about what the audience may or may not know.
Well, hopefully the majority of our listeners didn't know. Anyway, Khalid, and I know, Khalid, in your world travels, I mean, it's really important to know more than one language, is it not?
Yeah. Now, I mean, most of my travels have been to English-speaking countries, but I've been to Mexico several times. I've been to Belgium, which they speak primarily French, and I don't speak French. But it was very difficult for me to hit on any women because I didn't speak French. That was horrible. 3 weeks. I had to, like, flirt in English. So it was really bad.
You were over while you were there, right.
But I speak a little Portuguese. I speak Russian.
You speak Russian?
Mm-hmm. A little Russian, yeah. Wow. I can have conversations.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I've had friends that
That's
teach me.
That's an ugly sounding language.
Wow. Okay. We do have Russian listeners, right?
Hey, I love them, but they know their language sounds like.
Oh, you're going to say wow to me with all the crap you two have said in the last couple of seconds.
Really?
Yeah, I'm selective.
Yeah. I'm learning Lithuanian, too. So. Right.
Oh, really?
Any last words, Darvio?
Just want to once again give our thoughts and prayers to the victims and the families that have been affected by the two shootings, and we got to do something, y'all.
Khalid?
Yes, I'm going to actually write this letter to state legislators and see if they'll adopt some of my ideas. I think they're good.
Ashley?
I think we had a very good, productive, respectful, and thoughtful discussion on the shootings and what should be done about it. I feel like Todd Allen Show is how political discourse should be done, and I'm proud to be part of this show.
Thank you. We're proud
it's
to
all
have
because
you.
Of hey. Me.
Folks, we are what we continually do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. Until next time, you're listening to the Todd Allen Show. One hand up and wave it and say,
FCB Radio Network. First-class broadcasting worldwide.